Chance this morning, Miss Alicia, this is be her last Sunday for the summer as she's going off to Camp something or other. Camp Carl, named after Karl Marx. No, just kidding. But she's going to be working with the kids up there for the summer, so we'll miss her. Andrew, we expect you up here to sing. The other thing for this morning, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but this is Memorial Day weekend, so remembering those that gave all so that we can have what we have. And, I try to stay as far away from politics in the pulpit as I can. Today's going to be tough, but I'm going to do my best. But watching some interviews on the news this last, it's either Friday or Saturday, with some of our young people being indoctrinated into the colleges that are around and not thinking we should celebrate Memorial Day because it builds up the imperialistic United States. Many men and women have died so these young people can spout off their opinions. So, let's kind of remember as we go into tomorrow, it's not just about hamburgers and hot dogs, but it's about those who gave all. Now, two subjects, at least, within scriptures that kind of lead the body of Christ into much conflict with each other. One we covered in Romans 9, 10, and 11, which is God's sovereign election. Another we'll look at today, the believer and authority, and how we relate to authority. Before we begin, I want to go back to Romans chapter 12 and read verses 1 and 2 one more time. Because it's under this context that we will look at Romans chapter 13. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Now jump with me, if you would, to chapter 13, where we'll read the first five verses. "Because we are not to be conformed to the world, because we are to be transformed. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have oppressed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Let's pray. Father, give us understanding this morning. Lord, as we live in a world where things don't make sense. Father, give us understanding of your word and how we are to approach all things under the realm of authority. Father, give me strength this morning that I might proclaim your word as if you were standing here speaking to us yourself. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, normally when we come to passages such as this, and even in my study Bible, the title at the beginning of this section is Submit to Government. I think Paul's talking a little bit more broader than just government. He's talking of all authority. And we have authority everywhere. We have authority within the family. We have authority within the church. We have authority within local governments, police, fire, things such as that. State level. National level. Now, when Paul wrote this to the church at Rome, he is, in much the same way, reiterating words that Jesus himself said when he was walking this earth. And in reality, if anybody could have and should have been a radical against the government, it should have been Jesus Christ. His people, the Jews, were in bondage to Rome. Those who would seek to follow him were pushing him to take a stand politically. But as far as I know, about the only political stance that Jesus took was render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Because you see, Christ, being God, understood what most of us have a hard time comprehending. That there is no authority except from God. And we can look at our world and our country today, and we can say But Paul didn't understand what we're going through. Paul didn't understand a government that is fine with the murder of infants and the unborn. Paul didn't have an understanding of a government that not only was tolerable of things evil, but was pushing that agenda upon everybody else. A lot of us might be thinking, where is God? I mean, I know many confessed believers are still looking for their earthly Savior to ride into Washington on a white horse and take his rightful spot as leader again. And though we may have problems and issues with how and why things happened, nothing has happened outside of the will of God and the knowledge of God. I mean, folks, we have pastors in Canada today who are being arrested for doing nothing more than holding church. With the way things are going, I see a time very soon when pastors from pulpits will be harassed, possibly arrested and imprisoned for preaching against sin that is clearly covered within the pages of Scripture. But let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. How? I had Ryan read this morning out of Daniel. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they were thrown into a fiery furnace for not obeying King Nebuchadnezzar and bowing down to the idol of the god that he had formed. Did you notice how they interacted with Nebuchadnezzar? As I read it, they still gave him the respect due to the earthly authority that God himself had established. And even though they were not going to obey Nebuchadnezzar, because to obey Nebuchadnezzar would be to disobey God, they were willing to take whatever punishment came their way. And as they stood up to King Nebuchadnezzar in humility and reverence, and said, O king, we cannot do what you want us to do because our God will not allow us. And our God will save us from anything that you put in our way. And if not, even if we are to perish in the fiery furnace, God will still show himself supreme. Because it's all about him. During the time of Jesus, during the time of Paul, the government that they were subject to was not anything great. In Palestine and Israel, we had the Herods. Evil men who were given authority by Rome to rule that small area. We had the Caesars, Caesar Augustus. Eventually, maybe even at the time of this writing, Nero. Evil, harsh, disgusting men who had one thing and one thing only on their minds. And that was themselves. But every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Did November 20th of 2020, or November 4th, did that take God by surprise? I mean, were we all ready to have one outcome, and God's pushing that outcome, and giving a bunch of false prophets the knowledge of what was going to happen? And then all of a sudden God says, oh no, I missed it. I messed up. I didn't understand. No. And though most of us, not all of us, and that's okay, most of us were disgusted with the outcome. But I think a lot of us might have been because it's just going to make it that much more difficult for us to stand up and be the examples and the believers that we need to be. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have oppressed, or they who have opposed, will receive condemnation upon themselves. I mean, authority is placed in our lives for a reason. Verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Now, in some ways, I can see a turn in this thinking. For when the rulers become so evil, Adolf Hitler, he was an authority placed in charge
by God.
According to Romans. Yet he was responsible for the murder and torture of over 6 million Jews. If you were a Jew in the late 1930s, early 1940s, and you were to read, "Whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." How can you reconcile that? For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. I mean, for the most part, from the stories that I've read, from the history that I've seen, from the movies that have been presented, the Jews of 1930s and 1940s were like sheep being led to the slaughter. How can they say that their rulers are not a cause of fear of good behavior? Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. We live in a world today that resists authority. And you can spout off all the reasons why. And I understand that some authority is evil because they are made up of men. But I can also guarantee you that while not foolproof, anyone who does not resist authority, anyone who does not resist the recommendations, orders of a police officer, has a lot better chance of walking away alive than they do by resisting. God has set up authority for our protection. And yes, this world is evil. And this world is getting more and more evil all the time. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. And I understand today, things seem to be turned upside down. Where individuals can burn cities and neighborhoods, destroy businesses, and be praised, and pastors holding church can be arrested and condemned. It does not make sense. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. What we tend to forget is that God is still in complete control of everything. I've read the end of the book. This world is not going to get any better. Yes, we may see a... But the trend is down. Is God still God even when we don't think things are going the way they should? Is God still God? When sinners get lifted up and the people of God get trampled on. Paul, during his lifetime, he had no say in government affairs. He was unable to vote out the Caesar. He could not take to the streets and protest the Herods. I mean, he could, but then he would have most certainly suffered death. I mean, look at Paul's crime that he was killed for. Much the same as these pastors in Canada. Much the same as pastors in this country as time will progress. Possibly someday even me and Ryan. Maybe even you for standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many things distract us. '9/11 was a government conspiracy. Have you heard that? George Bush blew up the towers. Have you heard it? This past election was a fraud. It was rigged. Did you hear it? We may even believe it. The Apollo missions, they were all done on a stage in New Mexico. Because obviously the world is flat. I bring these up for one reason and one reason only. If 9/11 was a governmental conspiracy, if the Apollo missions were faked, if the elections were as fraudulent as people believed they were. Who is still in control? Who is still on the throne? And every time we get distracted into something like this, it takes our focus off of the one place that truly could change things. And that's the proclamation of the gospel to the lost. I mean, I'm not going to be able to convince some people that a repeat of the Boston Tea Party is not due or overdue. But possibly, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can convince those same people of their need for Christ and making Him Lord and Savior of their life. And then having God change their hearts. I don't know about you, I'm getting tired of this world. I'm growing weary. I wish at sometimes I was as old as some of you, and glad at the same time I'm not as young as some of you. But none of that really matters, because God is still on the throne. And not anything happens that He doesn't allow. I've had to cut back on much of my news watching because it distracts me from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where our power is. Our power is not in the Democratic Party. Our power is not in the Republican Party or the Independents or the Libertarians or the Whiggies or whatever. Our power is in God. It's taken me a long, long time to come to the knowledge of this that I have. I still have a long ways to go, because I get distracted probably more than any of you. I mean, I've actually gotten pretty good on Facebook anymore. I don't spout off as like I did. Right, Ryan? Okay. I used to get texts from Ryan. Huh? Let's trust God in all things. And next week, we'll cover even a more popular subject: taxes. To these same governing authorities that are ruining our lives. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit has to teach us about that. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. And Father, on the onset of just reading your word, it seems pretty simple. Obey authority. But Father, there's also times when that authority goes against you. And we do need to stand up. But Father, may we be able to stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Humbly. Reverently. Father, sometimes we may too need to be as sheep going to the slaughter. Just realizing that you are in control of everything. Father, help us to not necessarily love our government, but help us to love the people in our government enough to pray for them. If given the opportunity, enough to proclaim the gospel to them, enough to plead with them to see their need of a Savior. And we'll rely on you to give the increase. Father, sin has taken its toll on this world. Some 8 to 10,000 years of sin. Lord, we see the fruit of that today. But Father, may we not come across as holier than thou, or better than everybody else. But Father, may we come across as those caring for the lost, with the message of redemption that you have given us. Because Father, that's what our job is. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Help us to love you and love others as ourselves. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.